naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Broadcasting here on Instagram, on Facebook, later to be on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you want to listen to the other episodes that I've recorded, and we're going to get started here. So, all right, everybody. So, like we start all our shows here, this is episode 118. And 118, we're going to cover being the teacher, being the student, and all of the above. Light our candle, our ancestral candle here, giving thanks to our ancestors and all those people who have come before us, laying the foundation in the groundwork. We want to give thanks. Ooh, so many shows we've worked really, 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 really hard to heal the wounds of our ancestors, heal those parts of us that we walk around being wounded, and many of us travel that road of uncertainty and that road of things that are going on. So I wanted to just light this candle as a reminder, now that we're stepping into the fall weather, into the fall season, we're stepping into colder weather and the transformation weather. Things are starting to, you know, release and let go. We're starting to drop our leaves, drop our energy, drop all the things that, you know, we need to shed away and shed off. So that's what we're doing today. The episode today, we're going to be talking about what it means to be the teacher, what it means to be the student, and how they flip and how they change sides. Believe it or not, all of us, you know, take the role of being teacher and sometimes take the role of being student. So thank you to my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and all those who have come before me. Thank you for holding space for me, and I sent prayers to all the people in the world, giving thanks to all their ancestors, and hopefully they guide us and help us get on the path and the place we need to be. Right now we live in a very difficult time in this world, but every time is difficult, and every difficulty we have to work through it together and get through it. And as we work through it together, we succeed together. And so, Yirisikwi, Matakuyasin, Ho'oponopono. Much love, namaste, oho, giving thanks. So we also light some sage here to get ourselves going here. Get a little purification going, a little cleansing, a little moving of the energy. Nothing like good old sage. White sage to get us ready for the night. Feels so good. Let us take a moment to reflect about today and how our day went today. If we accomplished all the things that we wanted to accomplish today, or if there's some things that we just fell short on. And if not, and if it's a good day, then it's a good day. I love it. All right, so today I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be a teacher, what it means to be a student. Most of you know that I've been coaching sports for over 35 years. I'm actually a soccer coach here in Columbus, Ohio. I've been doing that for quite some time. This year, I'm actually working with my son on a project, and I've been coaching at Jones for 19 years, and you know, this far we implemented a new system, a new way of play that my son brought to the table, which is called a rondo. Rondo is a type of soccer that we play in, which is called tiki taka, which is called Spanish soccer. If you know soccer, if you know Barcelona, this is the custom Barcelona style soccer. And at first it was a little difficult for the kids to get, and eventually they got it, and now we're executing it. I can't say it's flawless, but it's pretty darn good. Right now we're undefeated. We've won our games by a margin of 6-0 for the last three games. And it's not so much that we're beating people up necessarily. It's more about we're executing our game plan. We're executing the system that that Dante has helped implement into the system. And so it's pretty exciting to see the kids succeed at that. Now, the moral of my story and why I'm going to get to the story, why the teacher and the student is, you know, sometimes middle schoolers don't always buy into the things that you have and the things you want to share with them. You pretty much have to prove it to them. And sometimes the way to prove it to them is by teaching them. And hopefully you're able to teach and express what's inside your head so they can kind of, you know, apply it onto the field. And I know some years I do a really good job in that, and some years I don't. It all depends on the talent pool we have and, you know, the desire and the will that a team has to succeed. This year happens to be a very fun year because we're implementing it, and it's coming out really beautiful. And so it's beautiful to watch the kids play, and it's beautiful to watch the kids succeed because, you know, the kids are doing good. So when Dante implemented this new system of play, you know, I didn't have any hesitations. I trust my son. You know, he's very good. He's a professional soccer player. He's a professional futsal coach. He's a professional futsal player. So why not trust somebody who's doing it? And see, that's where the story begins. The story begins that as a child, we all move through the different phases of learning. And one of the biggest phases of learning is knowing that you're going to be the student in the beginning sometimes. And right now I'm the student. Of course, you know, I've coached soccer and I've done things a lot, but I'm learning too. You never stop learning. You never quit learning. The moment you say you know everything, you're done. And so I'm pretty excited about learning this new system that he's implemented. And life is the same way. We learn. Sometimes the things that we do out of habit, and sometimes the things that we do repetitively, sometimes they work up to a certain point. And then you get to a certain place where, you know, you find that you have to change your strategy a little bit. And so we change our strategy. I change my strategy, you know. It doesn't make me less of a soccer coach. It makes me a better coach because I'm willing to learn. And I'm willing to take on the challenge of learning something new. I did a form of what we were doing, but this is more complete. This is the word. It's more complete. They brought it to completion, brought it to the place where you can actually see it versus seeing it on a diagram. And so I'm pretty excited for that. And to see my son's online there watching. So Dante, kudos to you. Thank you for being my teacher in this journey of soccer and life. And so basically that's where I'm kind of getting at today. You know, sometimes when we are working through life, we find ourselves teaching other people things about our life and how they affected us and how they molded us and changed us. And then sometimes we move through life being a student and learning from other people and the things that they have done. So we all, remember, we all have stories to share with the world. We all have stories to give. We all have emotions to share, feelings, experiences, memories to share with one another. And that's the cool thing about being the teacher. Being the teacher, when we're teaching, we're the ones sharing our story. And for somebody, that story is very important. For somebody, that story is very valuable. For somebody, that story has a genuine effect on what happens in their lives. And the same token, when we have the opportunity to listen to somebody else's story, we become the student in that moment, to learn, to hear. Sometimes all that people ever want to do is just be heard, okay? And to just, you know, be in a place where they can be acknowledged. And so today when, you know, Dante doesn't come to all our games, but I'm usually at the away games by myself. So the kids today, what I asked them to do was kind of implement the things that we've been practicing in practice. And so we ended up doing the things that we practiced. And in the first half, they worked great. But a lot of it had to do with me moving the chess pieces and saying, move it to the one, move it to this number, move it to that number. In soccer, they have different numbers that we specifically use in our training. The one is representative of the goalie, so we drop it all the way back to goalie, which is never unheard. You know, most in American soccer, most people are like, no, don't give it to the goalie, don't cross it across the goal, blah blah blah. You always hear these negative connotations of playing it back. Playing it back is one of the most powerful tools you can have in soccer if it's done properly. if it's executed properly. It's one of those things that can kill the momentum on the team. So that's what we did today in the first half. And you know what? The kids are having a great time. They even told me that they were having fun, which is, that's what you want to hear as a coach, that they were having fun. And then they were watching it, the execution of the plays working out to their benefit. Okay, so that was really powerful. Now, the second half, I decided to be the student and learn from them and see what they learned, and sat back as, you know, the sensei, you know, the teacher, you know, the coach, and kept my mouth shut. Very little did I interject, and I sat on the grass and I watched our team play. I sat there and I watched them play. I watched them execute our plays. I watched them, you know, do it. It was a little different because now it was their game to do, their game to manifest and create in. And you know what? For not being interjecting my voice into the game, they did pretty good. They did pretty well. Now there's some things, some aspects and things that we have to work on tomorrow at practice, because it's just, that's the learning process. One of the things that we forgot to do is drop it back to the one as much as we did in the first half. We were trying to force it. We were trying to put it into spaces and places that we didn't need to put it. But anyhow, they did their best, and I was proud of them. They ended up scoring 3 more goals, so the game ended up 6-0. Now, was the other team bad or good? It wasn't that they were bad or good. It's that we executed our game plan, and that's what I always tell the kids. If we practice and we execute and we do the things we're supposed to do, they have to beat us versus us beating them. The moment we try to play their game, we're done because we're out of our own game plan. So life is the same way. So I try to teach the kids that life is, this is like your first job. It may be sports, it may be fun, but this is you being accountable to other people, not just to yourself. This is you being accountable to the person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you. That every piece and every piece of the pie, every piece of the team is a valuable piece, and they all have to work together. Because if they don't work together, then it makes it very difficult. And then what happens is people start to blame other pieces that aren't working properly. But you're only as good as your weakest or your strongest pieces, right? So we don't really have necessarily weaknesses because all our pieces are working together, or they're trying to work in the best capacity they can. So the kids are learning valuable life lessons. Life lessons are, you know, no man's an island. You know, we have to work together to make this happen. There's no one guy going to goal scoring. You know, it happens because we worked the ball and we moved it together. Life is the same way. You know, if you have, you know, a business, the same way. You're only as good as the pieces that are there with you. And the pieces that are valuable to you are the people, is your employees. Your employees are the most valuable asset you have. Most, you may think your customers are important. Yes, your customers are very valuable to you. But what's important is knowing that the people who work for you represent you, and they're the face of, they represent your face. They represent your heart, your spirit, your soul. So if you take care of them, they're going to go out and they're going to treat people so good. They're going to treat people so right because you instill belief and power in them. You instilled in them things that most people would never even be, things would even be instilled into. So always remember that, take care of the people that work for you, because they just need to be trained properly. And mostly when you find people who work for people is they're not trained properly. And then they learn bad habits. They learn bad things. And then they apply them to the next person that comes through. Soccer's the same way. If you teach them wrong, they're going to learn wrong. And they're going to keep doing the things that don't work. Okay, so soccer and life are a very big parallel in the universe. They're very parallel. They work together. They're no different. If my player doesn't trust the other player, then it makes it difficult. If you have a job and there's a guy that you don't trust and you're trying to do everything, what's the point of having that guy? You're only making the team weak. So as a teacher, it's very important to understand that we're all teachers in life. At any given moment, we're all teaching. Where your heart and where your mind is what is important. Because so many of us, we walk through life and we expect things to be handed to us. We expect things to be a certain way. We expect things to be, you know, in a way that caters to us. And that's fine, rightfully so. But understand, it's not about you. It's not about them. It's about people creating relationships, people creating an environment where there is synergy. And so when you take on people, say you're a teacher, you're a metaphysical teacher, and you're taking on a student, it's one of those things that you want to teach. You want to teach your students to be better than you. You don't want to hold back, but you know that you have to take them through steps. Just like soccer, just like work, you have to take them through steps. There are things they have to learn first, the foundation, the basics. And you know, the funny thing is when I coach soccer, and I'm going to kind of flip-flop through this a little bit with sports and metaphysical and all that different thing. What I find is a lot of kids come to me and to my son with a very poor foundation of the basics of the game. And so does life. Life, sometimes we hire people and we assume that they should already know how to do something because they had a college degree and they're so smart, or they had three jobs in this company. No, you can never assume that somebody knows anything. And your training is very important and very powerful. So many small businesses fail because they have poor training systems and they don't train their people properly. And then what happens is people take on their own roles to think that they can have to do something for the business to make it work. I know this from experience because I've owned several small businesses, and I know from my failures and from my successes that sometimes it was my fault that I didn't train my staff properly, because I just assumed this was a sharp person. This person knew what they wanted, but I didn't sell them my vision. I didn't sell them my dream. And in soccer, the same way, Dante and I have sold our vision and we sold our belief in what this system does. And I tell you, in the beginning, it was hard. It was very difficult to watch these kids moving through the system because they didn't know what was going on. They'd never been taught this. And I told them, whatever you learned from any other coach, just throw out the window right now, because we're going to teach you something completely different, something that you have probably never seen. Some of you may have, but I find out that none of them has ever seen or have ever done this type of training that we're doing. And so I'm really, really stoked about it, because, you know, I watched the development from August, when we started in August, and now we are now all the way in September, you know, and we're getting ready to go into October pretty soon here, and we're almost halfway through the season. And you know, you start to see the belief, and the belief is what's very powerful, and the excitement and the joy in these kids' eyes when they have success on the pitch, when they're on the grass, when they're moving that ball, and when they reset the game and reset it back to the keeper. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful game to watch. So life is the same way. So as a spiritual metaphysical teacher, sometimes there is a lot of information. And when we have to teach the people who are next in line to carry our legacy, remember, whatever we're doing is we're teaching people to carry into our legacy. Our legacy is the things that we have learned from our teachers and the people who have helped lay the foundation for us. Some of us are very fortunate to even have a teacher, somebody who was there to teach us and guide us along the way. You know, I'm fortunate I had a teacher, and I'm also had to learn some things along the way too on my own and construct ways of grasping and learning the things that I had to learn. So here we are. For example, I teach shamanism. And when I teach shamanism, there's a lot of stuff. It's not a weekend warrior, hey, get your certificate, congratulations, now you're a level one apprentice. Might work for somebody. That personally doesn't work for me. You know, it's kind of like throwing a teenager in a car for the very first time. Get in the car, drive it, turn it. Some of them will be lucky enough they can move it down the street. Some of them will just be a frightening sight. So why do we think that it's okay to just teach somebody a bunch of stuff, information, and think that it's okay to throw them out into the world and expect them to do well? Well, a lot of people, there's a big drop-off rate, because a lot of people, that's what happens. We give them a course, we give them a crash course, we teach them a few things, a few tricks or whatever, and then they go out, and what we didn't teach them is to teach them to be themselves, to teach them to be their spirit, their soul, and present that to their client, present that to the people who they are working with. Okay, so the art of listening is the most powerful tool that you will ever have in shamanism, period. I don't care who you are, where you've been. If you don't listen, it's going to make it very difficult to learn. If you don't listen, it's going to be very difficult for you to understand what that person is telling you, what's going on in their life. When somebody's going through a traumatic situation, traumatic thing in their life, they are talking to you and telling you in pieces and parts, in stories, and in fragmented feelings and emotions telling you what's happening. But see, we have to be the good teacher. We have to be the good student. The student, when he's in class, he listens. The teacher shifts to student mode and listens to the things that have to be heard. Because what happens is when we don't listen and when we don't hear what we're supposed to hear because we're so caught up in the next word that wants to come out of our mouth to share, then we don't hear anything. We do an injustice and inservice to the person. So it's very powerful medicine the medicine of listening. Listening is very forgotten art. You know, we have so much information overload that we want to share with the world everything that we know. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. Blah, 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 blah. That we forget to, you know, hear and hear ourselves. If someone's saying, oh, this is what happened to me, this is what's been going on, then you have to echo back to people what you think you heard or how you interpret it or how your ego is translating it, how your mind is deciphering the information that's been presented. So being a teacher is very powerful medicine, and it's also very powerful medicine to be the student. Never discount the student. The student will teach you more things about you than you ever thought you'd know. The people who come into your path, the people who come onto the red road with you and walk with you, these people who have been presented to you, they are gifts from spirit. They are gifts from the universe for you to share and pass your knowledge along. I have several students that I work with, and they are gifts from spirit to pass along information, things in my heart, things in my spirit, things that I've learned from my family, from my traditions, so they can carry the lineage on. There's no guarantee that my children want to learn or ever want to be and do the work that I do. But there are other people who are called to walk this path, this red road, this shamanic road, this medicine man, medicine woman road. It's not for everybody, and I get that. It was very difficult for me in the beginning, but eventually I came around and I started to learn. All right, so being and teaching is understanding that sometimes we have to be quiet, we have to listen, okay? Because the nuggets and the secrets come from the person's mouth when they share. They come and they share, right? And so that's one of the biggest things that we teach in shamanic teachings, that, you know, the art of listening. It's ceremony. It's like passing the talking feather. When it's your turn to talk, you talk. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. You know? And so, you know, in shamanism, we give you many, many, many tasks. We give you many things to do. Some things are very simple. Some things are very, very deep. And some things may seem very mundane and very boring. But that's the lessons. Those are the lessons you learn within those lessons. You know, if I sat you by a tree and told you to stay here for 7 days, you know, you don't sit there directly 7 days, but if you sat there every day for 7 days, you know, the teacher would come and say, what did you learn? What did you hear? What did you feel? As I progress through the days, I give you different tasks to do with the tree. You'd be surprised at things you hear. It's amazing. It's pretty amazing. But that is the key. The key is that the teacher is also learning. A good teacher is also learning, okay? Because, you know, there's always more to learn. A good teacher knows when they have a good student too, because the student becomes a teacher. There are students who come and they present themselves in some of my classes and they teach me some amazing things. But that takes a lot of letting down your guard and opening yourself up in being able to take in that information and go, wow. And sometimes they're on par. And so teachers, there are good ones, there are bad ones, there are ones that are okay, there are some amazing ones. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental right here about that, but there are a lot of teachers who sometimes forget that they have to be the student sometimes. They just feel that if it's their way or the highway. It may be so. Maybe so for their teaching style. But there's so much you can learn if you become the student sometimes. If the teacher would just become the student from time to time and listen to what the universe is saying, you know, what is happening, what's going on, you know? Just because you're the teacher doesn't mean you arrive. Okay, so you're a black belt in Taekwondo. Doesn't mean that you're the best fighter or the best defensive person or the best black belt, right? It just means you did all the work, you made all the movements, and you got to where you're at, and yeah, here's your belt. That doesn't mean you're the master, and that doesn't mean you're the best. The best is when you can inspire, and you can build in people, and pull out of people things that they can't pull out of themselves sometimes. Those are good teachers for me, personally. There are teachers who are hard, there are teachers who are very strong, and you know, and they're like, and they push you, and they push your buttons, and they push you to that place where you're so frustrated, you just want to hit him. Or you just want to yell at him. Quit pushing me! But it happens. You have to also understand that as being the student, it's about being the sponge. Being the sponge and absorb everything. And then you have to disseminate inside your head what is valuable to you, what's important to you. Just because you learn things doesn't mean that you always will have all those little things in your head. There are some things that will be they will apply to your life, and there'll be things that won't apply to your life, and that's okay. But remember, at any given time, we're shifting back and forth from the teacher to the student, teacher to the student, teacher to the student. I've had my students ask me questions. And when they ask me questions, it sounds like they're being the teacher, because they are. Teacher, or Iggy, what do you think about this? Is that a question that a student proposes? Of course, because the student is also the teacher. He shifts, she shifts into the place of asking questions, or asking you questions, so they can learn how you perceive the world. So their perceptions and my perceptions, so we can change them or work with them or move them into a place where they coexist. But that's how we learn. Understanding that everybody is different. Everybody has different views. Everybody has different understandings. Everybody comes from a different place. Because remember, when we're learning and when we're teaching, we must understand that every human being comes with their own perceptions, their own projections, their own judgments, and all the things they think they know about some topic or something. A lot of people come to me, and when they want to learn from me, they come with a boatload of stuff that they've read, a boatload of stuff that they've learned from different traditions. And then it only takes one person to knock them down. Oh, you're appropriating my culture, my belief. Well, listen, number one, to appropriate my culture is very difficult, because number one, I am from Peru. I am Latino. I am from the South. Those days are gone. No one asks me that stuff anymore. They used to. They just thought I was some white guy, you know, who's doing, no, it's not. You have to be strong in your convictions, strong in what you believe. White, black, Asian, doesn't matter. You're learning cultures. You're learning ways, you're learning things, because if you don't learn them, you don't teach them, it's going to be forgotten and it's going to be erased and never be ever done again. If I don't teach what I teach, it will never be taught again. It will never exist in the form and in the capacity that I teach it, because it's unique to my style and unique to my personality, unique to who I am as a human being. So it's very magical stuff when you do it. In my culture, we want to share everything with you. We want to share everything, because you know what? We want the stories to continue. We want the legacies to grow. And if you don't want them to grow, then just don't say anything. But that's why shamans in Peru, you know, curanderos, brujos, brujas, they all teach, they all want to teach, because you know what? They know. And the plant medicine told everybody that we have to teach the world. And everybody has to have their own medicine, their own journey. They have to be able to share their own thing. And that's why we do what we do. There are other cultures that don't like to share anything. And that's okay. That's fine. That's no problem. But when you learn these things, you either learn them for your own spirit, your own heart, your own soul, or you learn them to share, be able to prepare and share with others. There is no wrong or right way. It just is what it is. Okay? So we don't have to get hung up on those stories that things are a certain way. But that's one of the biggest things that we do here in this world. You know, we teach our kids that they have to listen to the teacher. But remember, always know what you're learning. Always know where your foundation is. Always know what's going on, what's happening, who and why are they teaching the way they are teaching. Never be afraid to ask questions, because when we ask questions, we learn. We have to ask a lot of questions. And you know what? Sometimes the teacher might not have the answer. Don't take it so hard. But the teacher can find the answer for you. Now, he has a teacher too, or he has several teachers or mentors, people who they work with. So there's no really reason to get upset or bothered. Just understand that being the teacher is also being the student. And it's okay to be one or the other, or both at the same time, or one dominant or the other dominant, student or teacher. Because that's how it goes. That's how it is, because we're all here to learn from one another. We're here on this planet to learn from one another. We learn from each other. We share with each other the knowledge and all the wisdom, the things that we've collected. You know, it's funny how life is. Life presents many opportunities for us to do certain things. And sometimes we pass them by, and sometimes we move to the next one, and sometimes we pass them by, sometimes we move to the next one. But no matter what we do, we're learning. No matter what we do, we're in the capacity of being the student or the teacher. So when you're ready, the student will appear. And when the student's ready, the masters will appear. The teachers will appear. When the universe aligns people together, it's for a specific reason at that moment in time. It doesn't always mean that they have to be, you know, completely in sync. You know, when I work with my students, I put them on these tasks. And sometimes I won't see them for weeks. Because that's part of the task, is to be able to know and to learn those things that you have to learn in your own time, in your own moment. Because if you're able to do that, you're able to share with somebody else. It has to be duplicatable. You have to be duplicatable. It has to be able to be done. Someone has to be able to do the same thing. If it's so hard that nobody can do it, then that's not duplicatable. But everything that I teach in the work and the medicine work I do is duplicatable. It's something you can do. The cool thing about it is, in the work that I do, is that you should be able to create your own version of your medicine, your own version of what you do. And if you can create your own version, then you got it made. And apply it with the things that I've taught you and the things that you've learned, you're going to be okay. So that's my story about being the student, being the teacher. It's nothing new. It's nothing that you'd not heard before. It's just a reminder. It just say, hey, you know what? That's good. That's good. You know, I need to hear that again. There are things I have to hear sometimes again over and over too. And so here we are. Here we are, 2020. Yahoo! What a crazy year, isn't it, guys? 2020. And now we're winding down, and we're 4 months into the 2021. Where did the time go? And now we're moving into different energies, and things are happening, and things are moving. Things have been stagnant. Now, as humanity expresses itself, we have multiple teachers to learn from. We have multiple students to share with. We have students teaching the new people, teaching us all. The world is not in chaos. The world is in flux of learning. Right now we are learning what works, what doesn't work, what will work for us. Okay? To think of it being in chaos, not really in chaos. It's not in chaos. It's an opportunity to share and to learn. It's an opportunity for people to step up, become leaders. It's an opportunity for people to become teachers, to become students. Okay? It's an opportunity to redefine who we are as humans, as humanity moves into these new energies of understanding and misunderstanding. Right now, human beings are on the cusp of doing amazing things. as long as that we don't hurt each other or kill each other or abuse each other, you know, we're in a we're good we're on a good roll right now. You know, right now we're in the crisis of a pandemic. It may not feel like it sometimes. It may not feel like we're in a pandemic, but we are. And we can't forget that we have to protect ourselves and help protect others. And now we're learning. The learning curve is changing. Now as humans are changing and we're evolving, because we are evolving and we are moving into a new space and into a new light, what it means to be human in today's world. Today's world has presented us with a lot of opportunities to do some amazing things. Now the question is, will we do them? Because if we don't, someone will do them for us. I always tell you guys, if you don't make changes in your life and you don't move into the direction that you want to move into, somebody else will change it for you. Somebody else will move you in the direction that you may not want to be. But somebody will move your energy. Somebody will move you in the direction and the flow that you may not want to be. You have more control than you do, than you think, but you have to believe that you have control. You have to believe that you can do it. You have to believe that you're able to do it. Because if you don't, I guarantee you there's somebody out there who will move you into the direction they want you to be in. There'll be somebody out there who will control you, manipulate you, use you to their liking. Not because they do it intentionally, just because you've given your power away. You've given yourself away to do that. So be careful. Be cautious. Be understanding. And learn. Am I learning from the situation? Am I teaching in the situation? Am I the student? These are things that just happen very naturally. But be careful. Just be careful. When you pick teachers, ask a lot of questions and see if you're in alignment with them. It's like an interview. You interview each other. You know, the teacher may not want to work with you. You may not want to work with the teacher. That's okay. No hard feelings. You move on. There's like 7.5 billion people on the earth. You're going to get hung up over one? Come on. But feelings and emotions get attached with people, and that's why we have situations we are. Now the world is in flux. The world is in learning. We are in learning. Are we going to learn? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where the world takes us now. The world may not want to change, but the individuals want to change. There are people who want to change. And as they change, the world changes. And as they change, they become the new teachers, they become the new students. And as these students progress and as these teachers teach, we understand where we're going and how we're moving. And with that, guys, there's not a whole lot more I can say. Just be where you are right now. Enjoy where you are. Understand that you're going to be the teacher at times. You're going to be the student at times. And that's okay. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed our show tonight. I hope that you were able to tune in for a little bit. It's good to be here. And I want to let everybody know that we'll have a pop-up drumming here pretty soon. Right now, there's a lot going on right now. A lot of things that we're doing. So I want to say matakuyasin, ho'oponopono. I love you guys. Be well. Take care. Do all the things that put you in alignment with one another. And you know, remember, some days you're the teacher. Some days you're the student. Some days it just changes. And some days we're just where we're at. All right, guys. Peace and love. I love you very much. Take care of yourselves. We will see each other next time here on Iggy Garcia Live. This is episode 18. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that I got a little message across to you. Hopefully you were able to gather some thoughts on the things that I was saying, gather some ideas of where I was at and what I was trying to share with you today. All right, guys, you take care. I will see you next time, and enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you soon.